We are welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It is called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It is an insider look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give his unique perspective on hot topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
Black Tech Green Money isn't just about telling the stories of successful black entrepreneurs. It's also about giving actionable and wealth-building strategies that help you protect the future of our communities. That's why we're pleased to be supported by State Farm Insurance. State Farm also believes that we must invest in our communities to achieve economic growth by sponsoring programs like the AXO, which rewards high school students for their academic achievements. State Farm believes that being better neighbors creates better communities. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
AT&T connects an ode to podcasts. Connect the alarm. Change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze. 10 more minutes to dream.
Connect the shower. Lather up with the news. Sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work. In traffic, so slow.
Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
The world's most dangerous morning show, The Breakfast Club.
Man, what the hell is this, man?
Breakfast Club, bitches.
I'm glad they put y'all together. Y'all are like a mega force. Y'all just took over everything.
Wake your punk ass up.
This Chris Brown. I've officially joined The Breakfast Club. Say something, motherfucker.
I'm with it.
The world's most dangerous morning show, Breakfast Club, bitches.
Let's go.
This is your time to get it off your chest, whether you're man or black.
Say it with your chest.
We want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
So if you got something on your mind, let it out.
Hello, who's this?
Hey, Fly from California. How y'all doing?
Hey, what's up, bro? Get it off your chest.
Say your name, King?
Fly.
What's up, King? How you doing, bro?
I was calling because the interview that you had, say, with Jon Stewart, honestly, I think it was one of the best interviews that you have, like, had at The Breakfast Club, period. From the range of topics that you discuss, just the discourse between two people is something that we need to see right there. That was like one of the best interviews that you all have ever had.
Thank you, brother. We appreciate that.
Something, Charlamagne, that you said during that interview was that something that the Democrats have a problem with doing is our messaging. And getting that, yeah, getting that across to the people. And like defund the police, right? It's a triggering word. What do y'all think about saying like refund the people instead of defund the police? Because we're asking for a reinvestment in our communities.
Correct.
And maybe that helped get people in the door a little bit safer. What do y'all think about that?
I think
you said refund
what it is,
the people.
It's gonna be a trigger for people.
But it has to do with the police department. So I think, you know, that is really the focal point of it, the financing for the police departments.
I was thinking that slogan gets the people inside the door, and then when you explain to them how you refund the people, now you talk about how we're divesting funds from police departments, putting that into mental health services, so on and so forth.
Yeah, I read a good article that Michael Harriet wrote about Tim Scott. And, you know, he was saying that he likes the Republican police reform bill a little bit better than the Democratic bill, but it's actually the same bill. But Tim Scott just has a different messaging. You know, so he's still.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's still talking about defunding the police. He's just messaging it in a different way.
Yeah, so maybe y'all should have, like, a prison abolitionist, like, come and, like, and a police abolitionist come and explain what it is, like, same dialogue that you guys are having, and really, like, let people know, like, hey, it's not going to be lawlessness. We'll have a system. It's just a reimagining of public safety and restorative justice in our prison instead of, you know, punishment.
Okay. Well, thank you for checking in, brother. Hello, who's this?
Hello?
Hey, good morning.
Hi, DJ Envy.
Good morning.
This is Cheryl Collins from Columbus, Ohio.
Hey, Cheryl, get it off your chest.
By way of Akron.
Okay. What's up? Get it off your chest.
Yeah, this is my first time calling. And I wanted to call and tell Charlamagne he need to go sit in the corner. I've been wanting to call him ever since I was working, but I knew I wasn't going to be able to get in. And he needs to go somewhere and sit down.
Why you want him to sit down?
Why I want him to sit down? He want to ask John Stewart. You should have seen what my grandmother had to wear as a T-shirt. My grandmother was Tommy Lou Weems. He should see what she had to wear. I don't give a f*** about what F. Now, I ain't talking. I'm talking for real. I ain't talking like my niece taught me how to talk. My favorite niece. Her name is T.C. Tamara
okay.
Collins.
What you talking? I still don't know what you're talking about, baby. What you talking about?
What shirt?
Who is this? Charlamagne?
Yeah.
Charlamagne, you go sit down somewhere. Go to timeout.
And but why? You gotta. I need to know what I did wrong.
Because you full of.
Whoa. You got that right.
Okay. What else?
You gonna ask John Stewart what his mother had to wear? You should have seen what my grandmother's shirt had to wear.
Time out. I didn't ask any John Stewart what his mama was wearing. What is you talking about?
He sure did, mama. Go ahead. Get on his butt. Go ahead. Tell him to sit in the corner
some
more.
Now, we don't know what this woman is dealing with.
Angela what? Yee. You know, many years ago, Michelle K tried to tell y'all what was going on out there in the street.
So?
And Kevin Gates then tried to tell you when he's talking about people eating booty and shit.
Okay.
Yeah. Okay. How you doing, my love? You good?
That's what I want to talk about.
Let us know.
I'm glad Amanda Seals is going to, whatever she's going to do on TV.
She's talking about when John Stewart was talking about the shirt his mom wore in regards to him being called sexist. Is that what you was talking about, Mama?
Yes.
John Stewart was not talking about wearing no goddamn shirt.
He said, I think something about a fish and a bicycle. That's what she's talking about. Yes, he did.
That's right.
Yeah.
I don't know what you're talking about.
My mother had to wear, my grandmother had to wear in Akron, Ohio during the riot. All this I forgot. Wait a minute, Charlamagne, shut up. All this stuff
on the corner.
I seen these kids crying in the street. All that brought back my memory. I'm trying to get a COVID-19 test, and they give me the fucking run around. And I know the system.
Where you from, Mama?
Where you live at?
I'm from Akron, Ohio, by way of Columbus.
I'm gonna call LeBron and I'm gonna have LeBron send you a COVID-19 test.
Shut the fuck up.
You can't curse.
And now
he's not. Charlamagne, that's the only thing he understands is cursing.
You gotta say,
you're right.
Shut the F up.
You gotta be aggressive with me.
Well, you hold on, all right? Can we get your number that way we can see if we can find a place that's doing the free COVID testing for you in Akron? Can we do that?
I love you, though.
Get it off your chest.
By the way, I don't remember John Stewart talking about his damn shirt. I remember John Stewart saying he was from a single mother and he had a bunch of men working for him. How did his mama's shirt get into this?
I need a man like a fish needs a bicycle.
Yeah.
What that got to do with me, though?
Nothing.
I don't know.
He was saying that his mom wore that T-shirt.
Yeah. But that's the shirt she's talking about. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Wake up. Wake your ass.
This is your time to get it off your chest. Whether you're mad or blessed, we want to hear from you on The Breakfast Club.
Hello, who's this?
Janelle.
Hey, get it off your chest.
Hey, good morning. Sometimes you got to think, some people don't know how to love. They don't know how to love, how they going to dish it out.
Okay.
What you talking about?
If they don't know how to love, how they going to dish it out.
That is very true, but what are you talking about in particular?
The incident that just happened with that young lady with the police officers. The violence going on in the world.
So you're telling me that police officers hot?
Yeah, they don't know how to be taught. That's how they was taught. The police teach you how to be evil. They teach you how to be evil. And then you go home and do the same thing to the outside world. So that's not part of love. If you don't know how to love, how you gonna dish it out?
Yeah, I think also too, sometimes people just abuse power. You know what I mean? And you don't realize that you're abusing power until you actually get power. And that badge
power. I don't even need you to love me. Just treat me like a human being. The woman was in the shower. She said, let me get some clothes. They wouldn't even let her put clothes on.
Because they don't care. Some men don't care how they treat women. So you say, in other words, you don't care how you treat your mother, how you treat your daughter, how you treat your granddaughter. This goes on and on and on. If we can't stop, how's it gonna change?
That's what I said. If doing to others as you would have them doing to you. But if you don't care what happens to you based off how you treat others, at least care about what happens to other people you love based on how you treat others.
Well, thank you for checking in, Mama. Hello, who's this?
Yo, it's Joe from Brooklyn.
Get it off your chest, bro.
Yeah, man. First of all, I'd like to shout y'all guys out, man, for everything that y'all bring to us. But I'm calling y'all today is because I'm trying to bring more of awareness of all the shootings that have been recently happening in Brooklyn, especially. It's been like the Wild Wild West, man. Like, a one-year-old got killed. Like,
yeah, yesterday.
It's crazy, man. And not only that, last night it's been like 6-7 people got shot in Canarsie.
Mm-hmm.
Wow, man. And it's like, yo, I got a family, man. Like, it's like, I can't even, you know, I mean, not only we got the virus that's against us, but then we got the police brutality thing going on, and now we're killing ourselves. Like, it don't make no sense, and it's just wild, man. I don't know. Like, this 2020, man, it gotta go, man. I'm over. My anxiety,
yeah, that's,
you
know, so sad.
My anxiety is through the roof, man, because these bullets, they shoot, the bullets are flying, but the bullets don't got no name.
Right.
You know? So it's hitting innocent people.
That's right.
You know? And, you know, I'm like, yo, it don't make no sense. This don't make no sense.
We still got to factor in the fact that 40 million people are unemployed. You know what I'm saying? Like, the hood is in bad shape right now, not only, you know, financially, but, you know, the way that coronavirus has impacted the Black community. So it's just like, man.
But, I mean, anyway, man, I just wanted to bring up more of awareness, because it's crazy, man. I mean, people got families, innocent lives being taken in throughout all these, and it don't make no sense, man.
Right.
No sense.
Right.
At all.
Hello, who's this?
What's going on? This is Jimmy from Miami.
Hey, what's up, Jimmy from Miami? Get it off your chest, bro.
Well, y'all know that song "Uptown Vibes" with Fabulous and Meek Mill, right?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
I got a question for y'all. Specifically this radio station, you know. Y'all cut off I lost the Spanish news part. You know, I feel some type of way about that, man. What's up with that?
We do what?
They cut off the Spanish guy. There's three people on this. Meek Mill, Fabulous, and Anuel.
There is?
Yeah. You didn't even know that?
Y'all cut
off? I had no idea.
Yeah, but we don't decide what music is played, sir. So it's not particularly us.
Nah, that's
but that did validate
lie.
His it's point. That did validate his point.
And you know, like the Spanish radio stations, they when, you know, when we have English rappers on the Spanish radio stations, we let it ride. You feel me? Like, what's up?
We haven't played that song in rotation in months. That must have been on your mind for a minute.
I know I'm late. It's been a while since I've been hearing you on the radio, man. Y'all made my day. For real.
All right, brother. Hello, who's this?
It's Toe Time. Big Chocolate the Toe Sucker. How we doing?
Okay, MV. Bring him out.
So listen, it's my birthday this month, right? I want two things. I want to go to Foxwood Casino, Mohegan Sun, win some money in Connecticut, you know, where I did the YouTube video with Snoop Dogg. And I want to come down to the studio and have Angela E. make me a cake, put some chocolate icing on her toes, and let me suck them toes for 10 minutes, girl. What do you think?
Now, listen, I would be remiss to not actually pass this on to our resident toe model, DJ Envy.
I'll pass.
It will never, ever surprise me that Big Chocolate the Toe Sucker doesn't give a damn about the Me Too era. Like, he just didn't even flinch at the Me Too era. He just remained consistently who he is.
Sure did.
He didn't even try to make a change.
Nope. Get it off your chest. 800-585-1051. If you need to vent, hit us up now. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
If you're looking for the most epic place on earth, let's start at the base of a massive waterfall. Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
AT&T connects an ode to podcast.
Connect the alarm, change the podcast you stream. Connect the snooze, 10 more minutes to dream. Connect the shower, lather up with the news, sports talk, comedians, or movie reviews. Connect with that 3-hour philosophy show. Change the drive into work and traffic so slow. Connect the dishes to voices that glow. Thank you to the geniuses of spoken audio. Connect the stories, change your perspective. Connecting changes everything. AT&T.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We got a special guest on the line right now. He just turned 50 years old. Irv Gotti.
Yes. Irv Old Man Gotti is on the phone. But I feel renewed and refreshed and ready for this second run.
Yes, I saw you doing a TikTok challenge for your 50th.
You know what's messed up about that, though? Let's just talk about that because I got over 100,000 views, like 2,000 comments. It totally went bananas, right? Mm-hmm. So my nieces and my North sister Jackson's like, come on, you got to do it. You got to do it. So they didn't know I was going to throw up the middle finger. They thought I was going to do that shoulder or whatever, the shake. So when I did it, they was like, this is going to go viral. But I was like, once it happened and got all of I was like, I will post some really meaningful things, right?
That is no one can. Meaningful.
And like, I feel important. And it will get nowhere near the amount of what I just did for TikTok. So I guess, you know, it's a young generational world. Like, my old heads, though, they felt me. They was like, yeah, that's it. That was it right there. That's what I was doing.
Now you got to do now one where you actually do the dance.
No.
Angela. Irv's not doing no dance.
Grand opening, grand closing. That was it. I'm not a TikTok guy. I got
TikTok, not TikTok.
It's TikTok. It's TikTok, Irv, not TikTok. TikTok.
Oh, I said TikTok. My bad, TikTok. You know what I'm saying?
Now, you're back in the music. You're jumping back in full steam?
I jump back in, not just full feet, whole body. Because of this artist that God blessed me with. Just so y'all know, like, I wanted back in the music business maybe like 10 years ago. But y'all know me, I don't want to do like a regular artist or someone who I don't think could take over the world. I met the guy, my nephew, who's 22 years old. He called me and said, Uncle, I know you're looking young. And I wanted a young guy because it's a young world. I didn't want an older rapper. You know what I'm saying? I don't think a new, older rapper could take over the world.
Irv, who do you like from, like, right now, before we get into who your artist is? Because you're saying, like, the older generation doesn't really, it's like a divide. So for you, like, what artist? Because I was watching the BET Awards yesterday and seeing, like, who was nominated, who's winning awards. Who do you like from the younger generation?
I love Rowdy Rich. I think Travis Scott is a beast. And I like them all. I'm a different old head because I'm so into music and I kind of understand artists and understand the new generation. Here's the one thing I don't like about the new generation is they are flagrant with disrespect of the old generation.
Now, where's your
artist
from?
Where
is he from?
He's from Gary, Indiana.
Now, like Freddie Gibbs.
Freddie Gibbs, yeah. Freddie Gibbs. So, like, let me tell you about Gary, Indiana. Everyone who talks to me about Gary, Indiana is like, yo, it's the hood.
Right, and that's where Michael Jackson's from, too.
Yeah, now, of course, that's the flip side. The Jackson family was raised in Gary, Indiana. They said their house was like a fixture of Gary, Indiana.
Now, I was going to ask, you know, with this new artist, so are you full-blown record label Irv Gotti? Is this bringing Murder, Inc. back, or is it just the artist you're dibbling and dabbling with? Like, what's the plans for Gotti?
I am Murder, Inc. till I die, so I'm not going to come back and change the thing. Like, I got a big company, Visionary Ideas, is the flag that I go under for TV and film. It's not going to be Visionary Idea Records. It's going to be Murder, Inc., you know what I'm saying? But I'm a different person now. Like, I'm also heavy TV and film. I have 5 TV series. I have Tales is coming back for season 3 once this COVID stuff ends and they allow me to shoot, ready to shoot. I got this other series that's a spinoff from season 1 called Trap Queens that's dope. It's amazing. That's coming out on BET. Got this other joint called The Operator. I don't know if y'all caught the HBO doc, The Scheme.
with my man Christian Dawkins. It was about the college pay-per-play. I got the series to that documentary on BET+. Then I got the Click. Click is dope. It's like Entourage, but based on hip-hop and rappers. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? And the rapper and the new young rappers, Entourage, and I call that the Click. That's on USA Network. And then I got a joint with Shaquille and Shawnee O'Neal called I Want to See You Less on TBS. I got five TV series. And then I got two movies. And I'm happy to announce here, I told Amy at the jail, I'm announcing on the Breakfast Club, that I got a signed deal with Warner Brothers. You know me. I got a big mouth, right? So
yeah, you can't spill the beans.
Like, they'd be like, "Yo, don't say it until it's signed. You're talking too soon." But I'm like, "It's done."
And what's the relationship with everybody in the ink now? Have you spoke to them? I know a while you didn't speak to some of the members. Did you speak to everybody? So when y'all do this documentary, you can get. I know you speak to Ja. I know you spoke to Lloyd. Now what about Ashanti and everybody else?
I wish Ashanti all the love and the best of thing in the universe and the world, but the direction that I'm going in now with my young boy, really the only people Rule is to the casket drops. But that's me and Black Child too. So it's me, Rule, Black Child, JT, and my girl Jordan. We got a white female rapper who's hot.
Mm-hmm.
Right? So that's Murder Rick to me. And moving forward, you know, I still bang with Boogie Bird. I still bang with Fitted Circle. They got their deals with 300. But my whole total focus and energy right now is SNS JT, gotcha. My young boy from Gary. And I'm doing that because I know if I could get him to reach the heights of this hip hop culture in this world, I know for a fact that he could spearhead the whole resurgence of Murder Rank. And he's gotcha. That talented. Yo, this guy writes hit records in 15, 20 minutes.
Well, you going to play something, Envy?
Yeah, we gonna play a joint. Before we play this joint, I got one last question.
When you play the joint, and everyone, when he plays the joint, he's going to play Ride or Die. Ride or Die was one of the records that he made when he first got to the studio after I was introduced to him by my new assistant, Jackson, and my nephew, Juwan, and he did five records in like a couple hours.
Wow.
And Ride or Die was one of those records.
Before we play Ride or Die, question. Do you think the industry now is too hard on anything Ja Rule does? And the reason I say that is, you know, Ja Rule shot that commercial, I guess, for a TV show. And people were like, oh, my gosh, Ja Rule's doing a Ja Rule commercial. Then he was performing out in the show. Oh, my gosh, he performed for five people. Do you think, like, enough, like, leave Ja alone? Like, they tough on Ja.
I think because of the beef with that guy, I think it's just something that until we have overwhelming success, and in Me Too, I get a little bit, not as much as Ja, mm-hmm. that they question me and they think I'm whack. Oh, you're whack. And he killed and destroyed your career. And I just be like, okay. Right? So I think because of the situation, it's a unique situation. And that's what keeps the negativity and the bull going. But I noticed something. I noticed something this time. And I noticed a change in the comments. When they was trying to go in on him for the commercial, and people was like, yo, what are you talking about? He's making money. He did a commercial. And he didn't even do a commercial. It was part of the TV series that he has on TBS.
But I think out of context, yeah. People didn't know what it was. It just looked like it was a commercial. It wasn't commercial. No context.
Because when I first seen it, I was like, this looked crazy. Because it looked crazy. It didn't even look it didn't even look shot right.
Exactly. He didn't even pronounce the names right.
hey, but you know what's crazy? He's going to win the TV. It's a bunch of celebrities. Because mm-hmm. that thing went so viral. So that's why Rule, if you see the first post that he posted, he was thanking the dude, yo. Like, yo, good looking. You know?
He's for the marketing, right.
He blew it up. Mm-hmm. He blew it up, and it worked out great for Rule because that's what the commercial needed exposure. It got monster exposure for no money.
Right.
You know what I'm saying? So it worked for him, and it worked out well, you know? Even what? The other thing is when he was doing the thing, really, that was for his man. You know what I'm saying? But
gotcha.
he parlayed it because Ja has become icon.
and Icon books people for any type of shows.
So let's introduce this record.
That's why even going back to my man JT, it's crazy because I say it's God's plan, because God propped him up, but God also with this pandemic gave me the time to make, you know, I got two albums on. That's like we in the studio and he makes records so fast. And I had an accumulation of music that I wasn't giving to people. I'm going to tell y'all now here on the Breakfast Club that once he breaks and like he's popping in radio and everything, you want to hear a hit record from JT for the next 7 to 10 years. I got enough music right now for 3 years of hits.
Irv, we appreciate you for checking in, brother.
I'm a complete black-owned business. Support black-owned businesses.
Oh, my gosh.
My God. All right, Irv Gotti, it's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
It's topic time. Call 800-585-1051 to join into the discussion with the Breakfast Club.
Talk about it.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. All right. Well, I think this is a perfect time to let you know that on OWN, they have a series called Behind Every Man. And it's about different relationships and couples and you know, their wives or their significant others or the lady or woman in their life that holds them down. Neo was there with his wife. Kirk Franklin was there with his wife. Usher was there with his mother. Wyclef Jean is there with his wife. And I'm there with Kia, my wife. And talks like what she did, how she held me down, how I met it, and how significant she is in my life. And if it wasn't for her, I wouldn't have this career and this life right here. But anyway, that's not what we're talking about.
That's amazing. No, no, that's
amazing. It is kind of what we're talking about.
And it's amazing. I can't wait to watch because people are going to be sitting there watching it thinking, man, you know, Envy didn't make his wife for 6 years.
Okay, well.
I've been with my wife 19. I've been married 19 years with my wife 26 years. So, yes, we were young.
So for about a third of your marriage, she was faking orgasms.
Play the clip. Play the clip, drum. Play the clip.
So my wife faked orgasm for like the first 6 years of our marriage, right? Faked
it, right? I could see that. Charlamagne, have you ever faked it?
But I thought I was doing well, and I wasn't. But I was hurt when she told me that. Now, think about it. Could I
she
fake an
hurt.
Orgasm? Can I fake it like, and act like I come and I didn't?
That's why she got that Birkin tree at home.
My wife regularly, like every day. And yes, she does, you mother.
All right. The question is 800-585-1051. Could you stay with somebody that doesn't make you orgasm?
Do you want to explain? You want to add any context to what we just heard?
No, I mean, so I was with my wife. I was 16. She was 15. I broke her virginity. I was the first person she was with. I didn't know anything about anything. Like, it's not a conversation where you learn how to please your wife.
You didn't say that. See, that's context. What? You didn't say that. You didn't say that y'all was wild, young, and didn't know each other.
Yeah, we were together. 16,
now, that
15.
Makes sense.
It was the first with each other, so we didn't know anything. I didn't know anything about sex. It's not something that I call my dad and be like, Dad, how do you have sex with your wife or your girlfriend? Or it's not something that you learn in the barbershop. You just got to just dive into it, and I dove into it wrong.
Well, for the record, it went from 16 to about 22, right?
Well, shut up.
Let's you go said to... 6 years.
I hate y'all, man. That's why I don't like telling about my stuff to y'all. That's
why I like. I love
Let's go
you.
To the phone line. I know you do. Hello, who's this?
Hey, good morning. This is Michelle.
Hey Michelle. How are you? Are you a tortured soul? Are you a tortured woman?
Oh, my goodness. I am.
Wow.
I actually think it's more common than people realize.
I can only exhale
from oral, and it has to be a fantastic performance. But I've never, ever been able to from just intercourse, ever.
And you know what, though? But at least you can exhale, right? Because there's some women who can't even exhale from that.
Yeah, I think it's actually like the female version of like erectile dysfunction type disorder.
But it ain't your fault. It's not your fault. Because if you can make yourself get off, you know, with your vibrator or whatever, but your man can't do it, then that's on him.
Well, can you?
Well, she said from oral. She said she can do it from oral.
You can do it yourself.
But that's the problem. We have to learn our spouses because... We watch these TV shows as a kid, and you just think you just pound, 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 and that's what it is. But you, because we don't know. There is no class. There was no class. You don't learn. Like, how do you learn? You have to learn your spouse's or your wife's or your girlfriend's body, and that's what I had to do.
Do you communicate what you need?
I don't. I just lie.
You can't do that. You have to tell the man the truth.
You know, I'm kind of
I'm kind of traumatized because one of my early on relationships, I was honest about it, and I believe that's why he started cheating on me a lot. I think he felt like less of a man. He probably would have cheated anyway, but I think he felt like less of a man and started cheating a lot.
Well, he's a clown, and the reason he's a clown because when a woman tells you that you're not doing something right, what you do is you go learn and you step up to the plate and you accept that challenge.
Yeah, don't let that bad experience prevent you from having orgasms in the future.
I just take my L's and go on with it.
Keep it moving. All right. Well, thank you, Mama.
When did you learn? Like, how did you know you finally did it right?
I mean, when you start really taking, really learning her body. And really learning what her body. At first, I would just, you know, you watch TV, so you just go in there like you're going to go in there eight-ish. Oh, bang, 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 bang. You get yours and you fall asleep. But I wasn't, you know, really thinking about her and seeing her body and her movements. And we had to talk and have conversations, what she likes, what she doesn't like. And we went through there.
Now, I read some of the manuscript of the upcoming book. Is that why you started wearing her clothes and using her sex toys to, like, learn what she likes?
That would be a good time to get people to, you know, pre-order the book. But I'm not going to say what's in the book, but that is not in the book. That part right there, that's a lie. That is not in the book.
Oh, they edited it? Okay.
That chapter is called
That
in
part
her shoes.
Is not in the book.
What's it called, Charles?
In Her Shoes. That's the name of that chapter.
In Her Shoes, yes! Yes, that's great. Yes.
See, that's why I don't believe you. Talk about trauma. I'm having trauma right now, and y'all making fun of me.
Laugh through the pain.
Laugh through the pain. Let's go to the phone lines. I hate y'all. It's not funny. Hello, who's this?
I'm going to just go by anonymous. Shout out to y'all. But I'm going to try to make this story quick. I once dated a chick when I got out of prison who ain't had no walls. And I thought it was me, you know? Yeah, look, because I'm a little heavy on it, but I know I got my... Between seven and eight inches of good penis.
Right? You ain't got no girth, though, bro. I hate when guys say a woman ain't got no walls. You ain't got no girth.
Solomon, you speak on your own, because I widen home when you look. I ain't reaching the back door, but I'm widening some hallways.
Okay. I got you. I see what you're saying.
All right. Please
continue. Like a Pringles can.
Let me get to the story. I got out of prison, and I was dating this chick, and when we first had sex, I ain't gonna lie, I thought it was me. And I'm like, I ain't feeling nothing. So we did it about a good 2-3 times. Every time I faked the orgasm. She didn't know it though. So when we broke up, we talked, she's like, well, why didn't we work out? And I told her, like, look, you like a Christmas present. You wrapped real pretty on the outside, but ain't nothing in the box.
Lord have mercy.
So then she listen. So then she told me she ended up dating another guy who had a penis. Like a Febreze can. And he said the same thing. She ain't got nothing in the box.
You say who, Charlamagne?
So
you excited about that?
She has no walls.
So
I don't believe that. It's impossible.
Did you ever have this problem with another woman or just her?
Hell no. I'm engaged now. And my wife. I mean, my fiance is hella heavy.
I got to talk to her. I don't believe you. I got to get her word for it.
Listen, she is hella happy. Trust me. Listen,
okay.
This chick was built like one of DJ Envy's project homes. You know how Envy, you know, you go in and you
start
screaming in the house.
What?
That's how she was built.
Goodbye, man. Goodbye.
Yo, black people are the best. Drop on the clues bar for black people. There's nobody better than us. You hear me?
All right.
I knew exactly what he meant when he said that girl's poom poom was built like a project home.
All right. Well, moral of the story is everybody check out Behind Every Man, and I'll give you details of our book coming out where you could pre-order. It's going to be amazing. We talk about our whole relationship, good, bad, ugly, everything in that book. Can't wait for you guys to read it.
Behind Every Man is what?
Charlamagne. Keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the 5-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
If you're looking for the most epic place on earth, let's start at the base of a massive waterfall. Then trek through the thick jungle. Then climb to the peak of a snowy mountaintop. Then once you get there, keep going. Because with intelligent 4x4 and 7 drive modes and a Nissan Pathfinder, the search is the real adventure.
Available feature. Intelligent 4x4 cannot prevent collisions or provide enhanced traction in all conditions. Always monitor traffic and weather conditions.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courtney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
And many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. We got a special guest in the building.
Big Draco.
Soulja Boy.
Yes, sir.
Welcome.
What's poppin'?
This motherfucker smell like 2 pounds of marijuana. It smell like the loudest kush you could find in New York this morning, sir.
Yes, is this Soulja Boy's first time on the Breakfast Club?
Yeah, it's my first time. Yeah.
That's amazing. All these, we've been on for 8 years.
I know.
And now you decided
so
to come?
Much going on.
Yes.
And this is your first time here. So
first time, man. I feel good. I'm glad to be here. Thanks for having me.
Let me look at your nostrils. Let me look up and make sure.
What's in his nostrils?
No coke remnants. So, yeah, just the weed smell.
Yes, sir.
Why do you think Soulja Boy used coke?
I don't think. That's what the internet say. Where those rumors start?
Those rumors started with a video from Cat Stacks. I had some Tylenol pills on the table.
Mm.
And she crushed the Tylenol pills up, and she made a video on her cell phone and said I was doing cocaine.
I remember that now.
Yeah, and it leaked on the internet, and, you know, it started the rumor, but I never did cocaine in my life.
So you say you had the biggest comeback so far.
I did.
Bigger than Tyga.
Yeah.
So break that down for us. What makes you say that?
Proof is in the pudding. Look at me, you know what I'm saying? Like, I had the biggest comeback of 2018, period.
Were you really down before that and bounced back, you're saying?
Down and bounced back? No,
that's a comeback, you know? It's
comeback?
Like you were down and then you bounced back.
I look at that, like, when I say comeback, I'm not meaning like, oh, I fell off and I had the biggest comeback. I'm just saying, like, yo, 2016, 2017, I got into all them problems with the Migos and Chris Brown and Shia LaBeouf and this person, that person. And I was presenting in such a way where people counted me out.
Mm-hmm. I don't think they were counting you out. They were just laughing at you. They weren't taking you serious.
Yeah, I mean, not even that. Even before that, like,
okay.
I came out with Crank That. Oh, he gonna be a one-hit wonder. I come out with Turn My Swag On. Oh, he can't do it again. I come out with Kiss Me Through the Phone. Nah, he can't do it again. I come out with Pretty Boy Swag. Nah, I go platinum.
Classic records.
Then I go diamond.
Yeah.
Then I come out with We Made It with Drake. And I come out with Yes Bitch Yes with Nicki Minaj. And they just keep doubting me and keep doubting me. So I'm not saying this for like I was doing my thing. I've been doing my thing, but I was perceived in a f***ed up way. You know what I'm saying? So my bad for cussing.
A lot of that was your own doing, though.
I mean, I was
young. He was also young. He was like 17, 18 years old.
I was young. You know, I'll be tripping sometimes.
Mm-hmm. I was going to say, when you say comeback, you know, you got to say comeback from what? Because you were introduced as a musical artist. So a comeback would be another monster hit in 2018. That's why they say Tyga had the biggest comeback, because he came back with a big record.
Okay, Tyga had a record, but my comeback was people counting me up with the Chris Brown beef. They laughed at me. They thought it was a joke. I started this internet. I started the wave. I'm the reason why these new artists getting signed. I'm the reason why it's a little pump. I discovered Chief Keef. Any of these artists is hot right now. Rich the Kid used to sleep on my couch. Famous Dex, I was the first person to fly Famous Dex to L.A. He was Stacks on Deck Money Game before he signed the Rich the Kid. I started this, bro. Why y'all think y'all got this camera? Charlamagne, why you think y'all got all these cameras in here right now?
Oh,
I've been doing this YouTube. I was the first artist on social media.
I agree with you on that. 100%.
I was the first artist on YouTube. I'm the reason why they streaming right now.
Everybody doing a song with a dance to it.
Everybody working. Everybody doing what I did. They laughed at me. And now they doing exactly what I did and shun me and shun. I'm being shunned upon. Every artist in the game, all y'all record labels, y'all owe me 5%, bro.
Big Draco! Big Draco!
Y'all all owe me a percentage, bro. I don't care, yo. Y'all laughed at me, bro, and shit on me, bro, like I was nothing.
I agree with that. You just didn't have the biggest comeback of 2018. In order to have the biggest comeback, you got to come back with a massive hit. Because you're a musical artist.
Tiger? Tiger?
Okay.
This sitting right here talk about Tiger. The nigga that lost his bitch to Travis Scott.
Oh, shit. Holy
the that Travis Scott in the bitch and got her pregnant.
Damn. Holy shit.
Because of what? He did a record with Nicki Minaj?
Nah, the joint with Offset, Taste.
The joint with Offset. Yeah. You know how many songs I got with the Migos?
Even after the
You know how many videos I got with the Migos?
You still cool with them?
Don't pull out the Drake.
Don't pull out no gun now.
All right.
You gotta be careful now.
Pulling up some DMs in his Instagram, ladies and gentlemen.
Oh, my God. What they say,
Drake going, I haven't seen him yet. He about to show us.
Maybe you and Tiger could do a song together.
I love Tiger.
It don't sound like it.
I can't wait to do a record with him.
I didn't even say Tiger. I said musically, I said it was Meek Mill.
This is from Takeoff. Miss you, brother. All love. Keep doing your young legend. That was yesterday at 4:11 p.m.
Okay. So okay. No beef there. Okay.
Yeah, squash the beef.
Okay. I love the Migos.
What about Chris Brown?
I never had no... Me and Chris Brown talk, that's over.
Okay, so...
What was that? Yeah,
this your hotel key.
Thank you, sir.
Yeah. I'm not going to tell anybody it was a Holiday Inn Express. I'm going to keep that between us.
So what happened with Chris Brown?
Hey, Charlie, I love you, man. You're so funny, man. I love
you, man. The problem with Chris and the Migos? Why were you...
Okay, so you really want to go through this again?
Yes, sir.
Boom. Which one to go through first?
Anyone you want to start with.
Chris Brown, boom. I seen a picture of Carucci, and I liked the picture.
And that wasn't his girlfriend anymore, right? That was his ex-girlfriend at the time.
At the time, I'm presuming, you know, that was broke up, you know, and I liked the picture, and I got a call from Chris Brown on FaceTime, and he just was going off on me, like, yo, what the f***? You better stop liking her pictures. And I'm just like, bro, I didn't know that y'all was still together. You know, I'm sorry, my bad. If I knew that it was going to cause a beef and he was going to call my phone and say he want to fight me, I would have never liked Carucci picture.
So how did y'all get to that level where y'all wanted to smoke? Like, y'all supposed to have a celebrity boxing match, you and Chris? Like, what happened?
So basically what happened, he called my phone and he said he want to fight.
Fight you through the phone.
I said, okay, cool. He said, I'm going to call Adrian Broner and I'm going to set the fight up. I said, okay, cool, CB, set it up, my And AB called. He was like, yo, let's do the fight. And he was trying to give me like $1 million. And I was like, bro, that's too, like. So, boom, I called Floyd. I was like, yo, this CB want to fight me. You going to set it up for me? Floyd was like, I'll give you like $7 million. You know what I'm saying? So, I was like, cool. That sounded about right. Mm-hmm. So, we set the fight up. I signed the paperwork. And then Chris Brown backed out. He ain't signed the paperwork. That's the end of it.
So, it was Chris that backed out?
Yeah, bro. You could Google it.
Have you seen Chris Brown since then?
Yeah.
And what happened?
Not a damn thing.
Did y'all speak at least?
Yeah, it's over with. Did I just tell you that?
That's right. Don't make him repeat himself. Don't you make Big Draco repeat his motherfucking self.
Nah, Charlie, man, we good.
Now, what about with the Migos?
Okay, so I was talking to this girl named India Love, and we was cool for like 2-3 years, and Yachty called me one day. I posted a picture of her. We was on a TV show on BET, and I posted a picture from the TV show on my Instagram. Lil Yachty called me, and he was like, bro, you got to take that picture down. That's my shorty. So before I even say anything to Yachty, I call India, and I'm like, yo, you dating Lil Yachty? If you know what I'm saying? I'll take the down. She's like, I don't even know Lil Yachty. Like, I never met him before. So at this point, I'm furious. You know what I'm saying? I'm like, what? Like, is this trying to play mind game? So I call him back, and I'm like, yo, my what's up? You want beef or something? Like, you want smoke? And it started from there. And the Migos got mad at me because I went at Lil Yachty. You know what I'm saying? But Migos always been my brothers, though, bro. Like, when that was the first I flew them to L.A.
No.
I was in the Versace video. Drake wasn't even there. He was on the song. I was in the Versace video.
Did you feel betrayed when they took Lil Yachty's side for a second?
No, you're not listening.
She's not disputing you.
No, wait.
You're disputing yourself.
Y'all not listening.
Y'all better listen to
Soulja
Boy.
Y'all not listening. The Migos, that beat Versace, that was my beat. Go on YouTube and type in Soulja Boy, Teach Me How to Swag Part 2. It got 3-5 million views on that same beat. Zaytoven gave us the same beat. That's how me and Migos met. I called them and I was like, yo, that's my beat. What's up with y'all? Oh, my bad, bro. You know how Zaytoven do. He send every rapper in the game the same beat. And I was like, okay. Well, y'all know what? We got to make some music together. We got cool after that. You know what I'm saying? Mm-hmm. That was 2012. I knew the Migos before Drake did. I'm the that put Drake.
You like a godfather of hip hop.
Oh, God,
so to speak.
I am. Soldier? I am. It's facts. Yeah. It sounds crazy when people sit back and listen, because they be like, yo, this is crazy. He did. No, I'm just that and it's just facts. It sounds so unbelievable that I done did it, but I really done did it, my.
All right, we got more with Soulja Boy. When we come back, keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're talking to Soulja Boy. He's here. Charlamagne?
Now, let's go through some of your most famous lies, right?
Lies or lies?
Lies.
Okay, lies.
Now, you announced you had a $400 million deal with the World Poker Fund.
That was
Fund.
Facts. What is what?
You said it was an $80 million a year contract for 5 years for in-flight.
Facts. Google it. I still got the contract right now. What is you talking about?
Well,
a lie.
The company said it turned out that it was just shares that were valued at $2.5 million.
Same thing. Well, millions is millions, my baby.
No, soldier. Millions is not millions. You can't say $400 million and the stock is only $2.5. That's a big difference.
Millions is millions, my baby.
All right, if the IRS come to you with that shit, I bet you'll change your tune. Yeah, you got a $20 million tax lien. No, it's millions and millions.
Come on, man. Money is money, Shaw.
So that was a real deal. It just wasn't.
That was real, Charla.
It wasn't the initial number you said.
Yeah, but it was real, though.
Next one, Charla. All right,
what about when you posted a sonogram and announced you was going to be a father?
Bitch finessed me,
bro. You thought you were going to be a father.
I thought I was going to be a father. Sent me a fake baby picture, tried to get some money out of me for abortion. It was fake. Thank God I posted that because the internet told me it was fake. Thank y'all. I appreciate y'all. I posted that. I was like, this is fake.
So you were excited. I caught a bitch.
I'm like, bitch, the internet said this.
But wait, hold on. Now back up. How did you think you were going to be a dad when she was asking for money for an abortion?
I the bitch.
No, but I'm saying she wasn't going to have the baby.
You can't. No, you don't understand how she's
not listening to you. You're not listening.
She's saying she's having an abortion. You're not going to be a dad.
Yo, what are you talking about? All right, so listen, check it out, Ange. Look, Ada, we're going to slow
explain
down.
Explain her how this bird and these things work.
I the girl.
Right.
Club
I thought she was pregnant.
Right.
She sent me a picture of a baby like she was pregnant.
Sonogram.
Sonogram.
Right.
And she said, give me this amount of money so I can get an abortion. I'm pregnant.
Mm-hmm.
I posted it on the internet, and the internet said it was fake.
Right.
So I called her. I said, bitch, this is fake. I ain't giving you no money for abortion. You're not pregnant. You try to finesse me. You get it now?
No, I get it. Raw? But what I'm saying is, you said you posted it, you thought you was going to be a dad.
I did.
Not if she's having an abortion.
She wasn't going to get the abortion unless Soulja gave her the money.
Okay. Money.
But why you're not listening to
it costs more to have a baby than to have an abortion.
But why are you hitting these girls raw?
I'm young Draco, man.
Oh, my God.
I want to feel that, man.
You still hitting raw now?
Man, sometimes.
This guy is crazy.
The last time you had an STD
test, Draco.
Other day, I'm Gucci.
So I watched the first episode of Marriage Bootcamp.
Right.
Now, let's talk about the trailer because we see Nia Riley saying that
that's making a lot of noise, man. That hollow.
Yo, you just never had a lot of chains on top of each other. Anybody, any rapper in the game that wear their chains on top of each other, they gonna do like that. I'm sorry, it don't matter who it is. From
that
Migos,
sound real to you, Envy?
They gonna do that. Anybody chains
don't
gonna
know
do that. Envy chains is small. They can't hit their fellas.
Damn.
Your small too, and it say rich bro.
I don't have a.
If you got some chains, they big like this. They gonna come on. Feel that. That's drip.
They had you on that fake watchbusters.com.
Yeah, plenty of times, but right now this is real though.
Right now
I'm in the game. I was on there. A nigga gave me a fake AP for my birthday. I ain't gonna put him under the bus.
Did he know it was fake?
You look clean though. You look like money, Big Draco.
Thank you, Charlotte. Thank you, Charlamagne. I got my new video game, you know what I'm saying?
They say that counterfeit is too now.
They always hate on the black entrepreneur. They'll give props to the Asians at Nintendo, the white people at Xbox, white people at PlayStation, but a black entrepreneur to come out with a rapper, the first rapper to come out with his own video game, they're gonna say it's counterfeit and it's this and that. They're gonna try to shit on me, but I'm gonna keep striving and, you know, doing my thing because I made $250,000 in one day.
Is Nintendo suing you for that video game?
I can't. My lawyer said I can't speak on that. I'm sorry, Envy.
Complex has an email set up called soldierwatchtip@gmail.com for anyone who's ordered Soulja Boy products but haven't received them.
This is the Soulja Boy video game right here.
It's a console.
You know what I'm saying? It's a console.
Why are they saying it's like a boot?
How much I make yesterday, Charla?
How much did I make yesterday, Charlotte?
Boy, if you don't stop yelling at me.
How much did I make yesterday?
It's $233,604.88.
Thank you. SoldierWatch.com.
It's order a Google
your,
image, though.
Order your video. No, it's not.
I'm just Google image.
Come on, man. I do this. What it say, Envy? You can swipe through it, do your thing. I'll swipe through it. Tell them.
It say two.
But are people receiving their products, though?
Say yes, they are.
Complex got
this is what happened. This is what happened. I put up the video game. I thought it would only sell like 500 copies, 200 copies. Not a lot. We got like a 10,000, 20,000 orders, and it got backed up. You know what I'm saying? I didn't expect it to go that to sell that much.
So
you know what I'm saying?
Back order.
So we got backed up. But
so what video games
your product
play?
Is on the way.
So what games can it play?
It could play Super Mario. It could play Sega. It could play Mortal Kombat. It could play Sonic. It could play Kirby, Pokemon. It comes with 800 pre-installed video games.
But isn't that like trademark counterfeit?
And they're all licensed.
So you clear the license.
Yes, sir.
Oh, so they can't.
But they said that you removed the console because of threats of criminal charges for breaking the trademark counterfeit.
They said a lot of shit.
So that ain't true.
What really happened was we got sold out, Charlotte.
Now let's talk about your personal life.
Because
you are on Marriage Boot Camp.
Yes.
With Nia Riley. Are you guys still together?
You gotta watch the TV show. We TV every Thursday night at 10 o'clock. Tune in. I want to spill the beans.
We saw the preview where she said you were threatening to commit suicide and all of that. And
you can't kill yourself,
Big Draco. It did seem very harsh the way that she came at you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so what's really going on with that? Like, have you been making threats like that to her? Were you ever serious about that?
I don't want y'all to be too hard on her. I think she got a lot of backlash in the media for saying that to me on the trailer of the show. You know, when you're in love, you say things that you don't mean, you know, in a heated argument. When things get intense, you say stuff that you can't take back, you know, you wish you didn't say. But when it comes to the suicide thing, it's not a joke. I apologize to all my fans already.
Mm-hmm.
And I apologize here on The Breakfast Club again. I was in a dark, deep, dark time, and love do make you do some crazy things, and I'm stronger now. I'm in a way better place.
You think you deal with any mental health issues? I mean, I deal with anxiety, you know what
mental
I'm saying?
Mental health issues?
Issues, yeah.
I don't know. I know tried to kill me before, you know what I'm saying?
So you probably got some PTSD?
Yeah, tried to rob me. I shot them and so, like...
Well, we heard about
you do
it.
Yeah, how'd you do it, man? That was classic.
Lisa, we heard about
that
it, baby.
That video
we
you
heard about
that
it.
Was classic.
Mm-hmm. No, I got a movie coming out. It's called Soulja Boy. The movie, part two, is called This Can't Be Real. They gave me $3 million. Is coming out this year in all AMC theaters.
How did you avoid getting charges from that whole situation?
It was self-defense, man. So basically the whole story was, boom, I was in Atlanta, Georgia, and this is a very serious topic. I know they turned it into a Soulja Boy challenge and everybody was laughing and joking, but I could have lost my life. They could have killed me, you know what I'm saying? Angela know, because I came and told her this story right after it happened. So boom, I was in Atlanta. Some niggas kicked in the door. I seen like 5 niggas running through my house with ski masks on with AK-47s.
Where were you? You were inside?
I was in a studio room. Mm-hmm. You know what I'm saying? They kicked in outside, though, in the kitchen. So when I looked, they didn't see me. I just opened up the door and started shooting at all of them.
What kind of gun do you have?
I had a Glock, like a 4.5 Glock pistol. Okay. I started shooting at all of them. The first nigga I missed, he ducked and ran out the house. The second nigga I hit him. The third nigga I hit him. I hit him like 5 times. I walked up to him. I put the gun behind his head. I was going to blow his brains out. But I didn't want to blow his brain all over my couch. So I was like, f*** this shit. So I didn't shoot him. I took off his mask. I looked at him, and I knew who he was. He was one of my homeboys, you know what I'm saying? So it was an inside job. I took the mask off. I shot him again, but I didn't shoot him in the head, though. I didn't kill him. I shot him in the back. I went back in the room. I shut the door, and the police came. The police got there. They asked me what happened. I said, f***ing ran in the house. I shot him. They said, you should have killed them. They said, in Atlanta, it's a self-defense law. If somebody come in your house, you can kill them.
5 guys with AKs, none of them shot back?
Nobody shot back.
So you had 2 dudes on the floor?
No, one. The other got shot. He got out, too. He ran. He got hit, but he kept running.
It was 5 of them.
So they caught him because he had to go to the hospital to get it fixed, I'm sure.
Yeah, that's how it. You smart.
So 4 got away.
He got to the hospital, and then they had him on camera at the hospital. The police came to my house and showed me a picture from the hospital. He said, do you know this person? And I knew it was him. And he was all shot up and shit. So I'm like, damn, that's the guy just shot up.
All right, well, let's get into a Soulja Boy mini mix. Let me know your favorite Soulja Boy joint if you got one. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. That was a Soulja Boy mini mix. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're kicking it with Soulja Boy Yee.
How does that affect you letting people even be around you and be in your house, like even after that? Because that's traumatizing.
It is traumatizing. It f*** you up, you know what I'm saying? But you got to just know how to read people. Back then, I feel like I was young. I was real moving dumb, young with money. I became a millionaire at the age of 17. That s*** gonna f*** any kid up. You're gonna have plenty of mistakes. I think I did the best job as I could with all that money as their age. You know,
taking care of people around you,
what?
Letting people come over the crib.
What?
Is that why you moved to L.A.?
Why?
Is that why you got out of Atlanta after all the shooting and stuff?
Yeah, I moved like that same day. Like the next day I woke up, I flew to L.A. I was gone.
You should have had video of that, though, because you said you had cameras all through the house, right?
Soulja Boy the movie. This can't be real.
Oh, so you got the video?
They got the video.
That's the only way I'm going to believe this shit. I'm going to tell you that right now.
Oh, no, just...
Dude is dead, man. What do you mean? That's the only way.
Oh, the dude died?
AMC Theaters, man.
Oh, the dude did die?
I'll send it to you while we talk.
Please show me a clip of you shooting at some people, soldier.
Yo, Charlotte, I had to save my life. I had to save A-Rab life. I had to save Jabbar life. And I had to save Killer life.
All
it was three of us, and it was me plus three. A-Rab was in the studio with me. Killer was in the living room, and Jabbar, S-O-D-M-G, my artist, he was there too.
Nobody else had a pistol?
I was the only one with a gun.
Damn.
All three of them can attest to this and tell you this story, but you're going to see it on my movie when it come out, though, you know what I'm saying, AMC Theaters, but goddamn, I had to do that, bro. They would have killed me, bro.
I ain't mad at you.
Imagine if I wanted to start shooting. Five niggas with guns, they probably would have tied us up. You know what I'm saying? Did all type of shit to us, bro. They tried to kidnap my nigga Jabbar. They grabbed him and was holding him. They grabbed him like this and was holding him with the gun like this, trying to back out the house so they wouldn't get hit. You know what I'm saying? So I'm trying to shoot and not hit this.
So you trying to shoot around Jabbar?
Yeah.
So where was Jabbar? If he was in the studio with y'all, he
can't. No, A-Rab was in the studio. Jabbar was in the kitchen with Killer. It was two people in the kitchen. It was one person in the studio with me. Me and A-Rab. And that's what happened.
Was he eating
the other nigga was holding. Yeah, Killer was making a sandwich.
A sandwich? What kind?
He was making some noodles. He was making some oodles and noodles.
Why did you walk through the hood that time? And the whole, it's who said Big Soulja ain't from the hood?
Who said Big Soulja ain't from the hood, man? What? Now, that's my hood for real. You know what I'm saying? So that's just my hood. It was just another day. And you know.
That's Compton though.
Yeah.
You're not from Compton?
I am from Bompton.
I thought you from Mississippi somewhere.
Nah, I'm from Bompton. I'm from California, Bompton, yeah.
How?
What you mean, how? Where you from, South Carolina?
Yeah.
How you from there?
I was born and raised there.
Okay, believe that.
You was born in Compton?
Nah, I was born in Chicago.
I'm so confused. So what happened when that situation went down? Like, what happened when the phone went down?
Oh, man, I just went in the hood. This when the whole Chris Brown beef was going on. I'm with all my niggas. It's like 30 of us. So we posted in the hood. We just chilling and I'm like, man, Chris Brown. You know, woo. This back when the beef going on. Mm-hmm. And I'm on Instagram Live. So, this Chris Brown, he with my hood too, you know what I'm saying? He with my hood and too. So he called one of the homies and,
you already started.
Oh, tripping. Oh, man. Just, somebody sent them, you know what I'm saying? Somebody sent the little nigga to do his little thing. He's supposed to punch me, you know what I'm saying? He's supposed to knock me out, but he ain't do it.
Did he hit you?
He didn't hit me. I put my arm around him and he pushed my arm off of him and then that was it.
Now, recently, your car also got stuck in a mudslide.
Yeah, I almost lost my life, yeah.
That was good. Listen, all these incidents happening. So tell me what happened and what that experience was like and how you got out.
Man, God is good, man. It was scary as f***. I'm driving. We in a BMW. It's dark. It's raining. The roads start flooding. So mind you, I live in Malibu by the water. So I live we was at the bottom of the mountain. So the f*** was falling. Mud and rocks was falling from the mountain because of all the rain. It went under the car. When it went under the car, my car got stuck in the mudslide. So my tires were spinning. I couldn't move no more. Once my tires were spinning, it was raining so much, the water started rising up. When the water started rising up, it started coming in the window, flooding the car. I opened the sunroof up. I got out the sunroof. I stood on top of the car, and it was like a mud around it, and I couldn't get out of it. So I jumped off the car. When I jumped off the car in the water, the shit came up to, my belly button. And the water was pushing you. Mind you, we right beside the ocean. So the car down there about to go in the ocean. That's how strong the current pushing this.
You by yourself?
I was with two of my homies. It was three of us together.
How'd they get up?
They all came out the sunroof. They followed me. I'm glad I did that too, because we was finna die. And I just kept running. When I got
you was running through the water?
Running through the water, swimming really. And then when I got to the end of the water, the police grabbed me and it was like five of them. And then the next day, the was all over the news.
The people in the car just followed you? You followed your lead?
My two homies, yep, they followed everything I did. And I got us out of there. I let us out of there.
If they don't cast you as the new James Bond, then Hollywood ain't doing the right thing.
Yeah, man, it's a true story, man. It was all over. I was on Time Magazine, bro. I never made Time Magazine my whole career.
Now, what happened with Kanye? You went at Kanye the other day?
Yeah, so look, this is what happened.
See how he turned up? I like he just
So look, talking about Kanye. Mm-hmm. I'm the Kanye came in here talking about, I'm Walt Disney, and I'm, what'd he say to you, Charlotte?
I'm Walt Disney, I'm Steve Jobs.
You ain't none of that. Then why you ain't come out with shit then? I came out with a whole video game console, bro. I'm the first rapper to do that in history, bro. You kissed them folks' ass at Louis Vuitton, and you kissed them folks' ass at Adidas, and you came out with two pair of goofy-ass tennis shoes.
Say white folks, don't just say folks.
Them crackers.
Hey!
And goddamn,
Big Draco!
And that ain't enough, bro. I'm younger than you, I'm flyer than you, You crying on Twitter every week about Drake? Well, you gotta stop that shit, bruh. You look lame, bruh. And real street and young kids like me and young degeneration, we looking at you like you goofy, bruh. You up here supporting Trump and shit, bruh. That shit not right, bruh. You know what I'm saying? And I'd have sat back long enough and I'm not holding my tongue no more, bruh. You know what I'm saying? Kanye, call me, bro. Get in tune with me, because if not, I'm going to keep checking you, bro. But you know what you're doing, bro, and that shit not funny, bro. It's not, you know what I'm saying? You out here trolling and shit, doing songs with 6ix9ine. Y'all getting shot at and shit. You know what I'm saying? So Trump, man, gone with that cap ass shit. Whoever a Democrat and whoever holding it down for my black community and going to do something for my people, that's who I'm voting for. And Kanye, you ain't none of that shit, bro.
What you think of 6ix9ine? You mentioned 6ix9ine.
You're not Walt Disney. You're not
Steve Jobs.
Could you stop interrupting Draco's rant, please?
You're not none of that shit that you claim to be until you show me. You know what I'm saying? Only thing you did was come up with some pair of tennis shoes, and them is ugly, and they cost too much, bro.
Have you ever voted?
Yes, I voted for Barack Obama, and man, YouTube it. Soulja Boy vote. I support this shit, bro. Barack Obama followed me on Twitter, bro. His daughters are fans of my music. They like me and Beyonce.
So what did you think about 6ix9ine and all the trolling he was doing and where it got him? What did you think about that?
I don't think nothing about it, bro. 6ix9ine is nothing but a Soulja Boy child. He got all that shit from me. Now he's sitting in jail looking crazy, bro.
You know, but that's the route we thought you was headed for a while.
No, I'm smarter than that, bro.
Because you was doing the same type of dumb shit.
I know, Charlotte. Yeah, go ahead. Kick it to me.
Yeah, you was doing the same type of wild, dumb shit. And I said, if Soulja don't slow down, he going to end up in jail or dead. Thank God that didn't happen.
Yes, sir.
But
God is good.
God is good. But when you look at somebody like 6ix9ine, do you ever say to yourself, damn,
that could have been me.
That could have been me.
Yeah, but I know how to move. I thought he knew what he was doing.
All right, we got more with Soulja Boy. When we come back, keep it locked. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Good morning, everybody. DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. We're kicking it with Soulja Boy. Yee.
All right, now, Soulja Boy, you are on Marriage Boot Camp. Does that mean you are considering marriage?
Yes, I definitely am considering marriage.
You think you could be with one woman for the rest of your life?
Yeah.
So you're going to stay out of these women's DMs? Because I seen you saying you be DMing these chicks and they hit you back. And
well, if you get married, you got to stay out of women's DMs.
If I get married, yeah.
Yeah.
I thought you were talking about right now. If I get married, yeah.
But how you going to get married if you don't stop it now? Why would she want to be with you?
Because we're not married yet.
But how are you supposed to get to that point?
We're going to get there.
You'll know when you find that one that makes you want to stay out of other girls' DMs.
Yeah.
Don't you see how you hurt her feelings?
And you got to watch the show, Ange.
I watched the first episode so far, so I'm just going off of what
I've seen so far. Man, when you're young and you're in the industry and you got money and you're successful, it's groupies. They exist. You know what I'm saying? They'll do anything just for the clout.
But you're smart, and you're smarter than that now.
I'm smarter than that now, and that's why I went on a TV show, Marriage Boot Camp, so I could be the best me I could be. Mm-hmm. And try to, you know, this is Teddy Riley's daughter, you know what I'm saying? I got to be on tip-top behavior for this shit. It's real, you know what I'm saying? So I'm trying my best, man.
Has he stepped to you, Teddy Riley stepped to you?
Heavy.
What did he say?
Yes, sir, man. Just like, you know, take care of his daughter and, you know, am I going to be able to handle the pressure? I told him, yeah, you know what I'm saying? So all you got is your word, you know? So I'm trying my best, bro. Mm.
Is Soulja Boy happy?
I'm so happy right now, Charlotte.
Okay.
I'm the happiest I ever been my whole career, man. It's a blessing. You know, I went through a point where I thought it was over with for me, bro. No cap. And now, like, I'm back with a vengeance. Every rapper fucking with me. Y'all see Meek Mill post me on his page yesterday. Y'all see Trippie Redd. Y'all see...
Hold on, Soulja. A lot of them are laughing at you now.
No, it's cool because I don't have beef with nobody no more. All publicity is good publicity. Meek Mill, whoever, if they laughing at me, I love it. You know what I'm saying? But most of the rappers that's doing it, them is my homies. Like, Trippie, that's my homie. That's an inside joke. Tory Lanez, that's my homie. We talk every day. That's an inside joke. Meek Mill, I don't know him like that. He posted it. He may be laughing at me, but...
I think he was saying his words. I mean, your words really reflect him.
How he
feels. Because he feel like he had the biggest comeback.
Because he had the
of 2018. Yeah.
No, I had the biggest comeback.
Not really, though. I mean,
I think it was Meek. Yeah, I don't think Tiger.
We talking about music. We talking about... What is the industry? Music industry. You're a music artist.
Musically.
You know what I'm saying?
So you're not disrespecting me. You just kicking facts. Oh, you kicking your opinion? Listen.
I said that from
the beginning. Listen, Charlotte. Is that an opinion or is that a fact?
I would think it's a fact.
Opinion.
No,
ain't no goddamn fact.
These are all opinions.
It's a fact when it comes to music.
Why?
Stop all that yelling in here now.
Why did Meek Mill have a bigger comeback than Soulja Boy? Why?
Because he was locked up.
Yes.
Okay, I was locked up too.
They came on with a number one record.
The Drake beef.
What record was number one?
Dangerous.
His whole album went number one. Championships.
The single Dangerous was number one. Reached number one.
Okay, there we go.
First number one ever.
That was a nice record.
Yeah, and Championship was the number one album in the country.
And the album was a nice album, but he ain't had no bigger comeback.
Look how he crossed over.
Meek Mill ain't beef with Chris Brown and was finna box with Floyd Mayweather.
He beef with Drake, the biggest rapper in the world.
Drake?
The nigga that got bodied by Pusha T? The nigga that hiding his kid from the world, but his world wanna hide from the kid? Arby Graham in a wheelchair? Drake?
Yes!
Y'all niggas better stop playing with me in here. Y'all talking about the light-skinned from DeGeneres?
From Toronto.
Yo, stop playing with me.
From where?
The grassy.
Stop
the
playing me like I ain't teach Drake everything he knows.
Hold on, you taught Drake everything he knows.
Y'all didn't hear Drake on his first song. Tell me what's really going on. Drizzy Drake back in this thing already. What's that? That's Soulja. That's my bar. He copied my whole show.
That's Kiss Me Through the Phone.
He copied my whole flow. Word for word, bar for bar. Don't act like I make Drake. Don't do that.
Mine. Blown.
Don't do that. Nigga, his son is in a heartbeat. Don't do that. Drake? Arby?
Wow.
Don't do that.
Has he ever reached out to you?
Drake?
Yeah.
I took the Drake all the time. Yo, who y'all think I am in here? Y'all is crazy.
But
bro,
people can say that your nickname from Drake, though.
Oh, what? Draco?
Draco.
No, my first name is Dre. My middle name is Cortez. Draco.
Ooh!
There you go.
I'm finna show you. Big Draco, nigga. You better show some goddamn respect.
Who number I send it to? What's your number? Who got a number?
I ain't giving you my number. I don't want you bothering me. What's your number? It's the last one FaceTiming me.
I want y'all to watch just like a minute of the movie before I just tell me what y'all think.
Well, before you do that, Schoolboy Q's looking for you. You know that, right?
Who I'm texting it to? Shout out Schoolboy Q. He just DM. Yo, read his
DM. He's looking for you.
What he want from me?
He wants you out
kissing. He wants you on his album, in his video.
So yeah, shout out Schoolboy Q, man. Let me pull up the DM. Let me see what he wanted. He wanted his video. What, like a cameo?
I think so.
He don't know. He don't.
All right, here you go. What he say? Charlie?
For sure, cuz Big Draco. Yes, sir. Big Soldier. What it do, nephew? I just finished my album. I got this video of my N word. I want you to go up and clown with me in it.
Okay, so you're right. You do want to do a video.
Yeah, you all good? No problems.
You hot right now, Big Draco.
I'm on fire. Frigo. My new mixtape, Frigo, is out right now.
It's out right now?
Yo, the funniest thing just happened. I signed a single deal with E1, right?
Why?
Because for niggas like you, musically Meek Mill have to come back and so I'm trying to come back. So I signed a single deal. Goddamn.
Oh,
so look, I got hit my line. I put it out. I dropped this new mixtape called Frigo 2 days ago. The global president called yesterday morning and said that they want to do the whole album. They're going to do the album deal. So I'm lit.
Well, Soulja Boy, we appreciate you for joining us.
Thank you, Envy. I'm out, man. Love y'all.
Drake going to bust your ass, too.
Man, me and Drake can catch hands right now. One-on-one. I ain't scared of no damn Drake.
All right. Well, it's the Breakfast Club of Soulja Boy.
We're welcoming a new show to iHeart and the DraftKings YouTube channel. It's called Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano. It's an insider's look at the NBA and the coaches surrounding the league. Every week, the five-time All-Star and the number one pick in the 2010 NBA Draft, John Wall, will give us his unique perspective on the hottest topics in the league and tell the best behind-the-scenes stories from his time in the NBA. CJ will be bringing his A-list comedian buddies to keep it light and fire off some hoop takes. Plus, John will be inviting current and former NBA players, friends, and teammates to join the show as well to give their unfiltered accounts of what really goes on in the league from a player's perspective. So check out Point Game with John Wall and CJ Toledano on the iHeartRadio app, the DraftKings YouTube channel, or wherever you listen to podcasts.
You know a spot, but not just a spot, the spot. Actually, with the 2023 Nissan Frontier, you know a bunch of them. But the key to these great spots? Being able to reach them in the first place. Your spot is out there. Find your frontier in the 2023 Nissan Frontier with standard 310 horsepower, advanced tech, and 281 pound-feet of torque.
Imagine you ask two people the same exact set of seven questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same seven questions, including actress and star of the mega hit sitcom Friends, Courteney Cox.
You can't go around it, so you just go through it. This is a roadblock. It's going to catch you down the road. Go through it. Deal with it.
Comedian, writer, and star of the series Catastrophe, Rob Delaney.
I shouldn't feel guilty about my son's death. He died of a brain tumor. It's part of what happens when your kid dies. Intellectually, you'll understand that it's not your fault, but you'll still feel guilty.
Alt-rock icon, Liz Phair.
That personal disaster wrote Guyville. So everything comes out of a dead end.
and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
You are a donkey.
It's time for Donkey of the Day.
Donkey of the Day, huh? I'm gonna fatten all that shit around your eye.
They want this man to throw them blows, man. They wait for Charlemagne to tap them gloves. Let's go.
They had to make the judgment of who was gonna be on the Donkey of the Day. They chose you.
Yes. It's the Breakfast Club, bitches.
Who's Donkey of the Day today?
Donkey of the Day goes to a white battle rapper named William Wolf. Never heard of him before this week, but I'm not into battle rap like that. Okay, I'm only doing this donkey because it is a teachable moment. See, William Wolf is a battle rapper who, for whatever reason, is always trying to justify his use of the N-word. Last month, according to Hip Hop DX, drop on the clues box for Hip Hop DX. I love Hip Hop DX. My man Trent Clark, what's happening? According to Hip Hop DX, William Wolf was battling a rapper by the name of T.D. Barry at the Gates of Garden Battle League, and he addressed the topic of the N-word in a rap. Let's hear it.
All this dark skin versus light skin shit. What was the point of Brown versus the Board of Education when in modern day, y'all diss and kill each other over a slight difference in pigmentation? But I can't use the N-word in the hood. Well, that's news to me. When he say it, it's a term of endearment. When I say it, it's racist. Cut the foolery. I don't say that in the hood to oppress your people, and that's cool to me. I use that word strictly as a street term to represent the unity.
Okay, let me break this down in a list ton language you can understand. William Wolf is talking about dark skin, light skin beef. He thinks that we kill and diss each other over pigment. And what's the point of Brown versus Board of Education if we're going to do that? Okay, Brown versus Board of Education was the ruling that made state laws establishing racial segregation unconstitutional. So basically, he's saying, what's the point of being integrated if we just going to fight and fight amongst each other? All right. Then he said, when black people say it, it's a term of endearment. When I say it, it's racist. Cut the foolery. He only uses the N-word as a street term to represent unity. See, right then and there, William Wolf, somebody should have told you to shut the F up forever. As I was playing those clips, our white camera guy, Steve, was just shaking his head like, what the hell is wrong with you? You waste a good white skin. Okay. As LeVar Ball said, stay in your lane. Like, sir, the N-word, sadly, is a black thing. And you just wouldn't understand. Do I agree with it being a term of endearment when black people use it and considered racist when white people use it? Yes, I do, because I understand context and context matters. Do I wish black people, including myself, would just stop using the word altogether because it's a slap in the face to our forefathers? Yes. Okay, all of those things can be true, though. But what I don't need is a white battle rapper chastising me on my culture about it. Now, William Wolf is just another in a long line of white people who are willing to die on the hill of the N-word. Why? I don't know. Okay, but he was in a battle rap recently. This rap went viral over Twitter, and he learned a lesson that I think everyone can learn from, okay? You can say whatever you want. You can use whatever words you want, just as long as you're willing to deal with the consequences of your language, okay? William Wolf learned that lesson during his latest rap battle when he tried to take things a step further than he did at the Gates of the Garden. Let's go to Rick Smooth's Twitter page for the report, please.
I leave everybody hanging over your shoulder still. I can old school bump them with the shoulder still or shoulder still. Box him up. You want the David Blaine or the Holyfield? Either way. Either way.
What else?
He's tragic at the end. David Blaine, Holyfield. I got magic in these hands. Man. I ain't like these other battle rappers. They talk too much. Saying I can't use the N-word in this battle. My nigga, I just called you. Oh,
he got punched right in the jaw.
Right in the mouth.
Soon as he let that N-word fly. Okay? What happened to the magic in the hands? Okay?
Too much goddamn mayonnaise.
White people, you got to respect your jaw. Okay? I don't know why it's a term of endearment when black people use it, but racist when white people use it in the exact same context, but it doesn't matter. Okay, your lack of pigmentation makes all your N-word privileges null and void. Now listen, once again, you can say whatever you want to say, whenever you want to say it, just as long as you're willing to deal with those consequences. But William Wolf, listen, you are already a tourist in this thing called hip-hop, this thing called battle culture, okay? All of this, all of that is a black art form, all right? You are a guest in that house. Being that you are a guest in that house, respect it. Simple as that. Respect the people in that house. Why would you think that's okay? Why would you try to push the envelope in that manner? Yes, battle rap is all about saying the most disrespectful thing to your opponent. As a white man, you have to know one of the most disrespectful things you can say to a black man is call him the N-word. So I have to ask, was that your intention? If your intention was that level of historical ancestral disrespect, well,
then it's no secret why you got that disrespect returned immediately. Okay? Look, white people, I'm just trying to assist you here. All right? I know Michelle Obama says when they go low, we go high. But some people, when you go low, they going to take it to your jaw. All right? And that's exactly what happened to William. Please let Remy Ma give William Wolf the biggest hee-haw.
Hee-haw, hee-haw. You stupid motherfucker. Are you dumb?
This just in, we have an update. William Wolf actually has released a statement since this whole situation happened. Let's hear it.
What's good, y'all? It's your boy William Wolf. I just came back from the battle rap event. The battle did not finish. I got snuck during the battle off of a line that I said or whatever that got misinterpreted or whatever. Got broken up. To me, it's not that deep. I'm not damaged, you know what I'm saying? I'm not injured or no like that. I might fall back off battle rap for a little while just because of how corny this played out. And that's going to make this not fun to me anymore.
That punch was life-changing, all right? That punch to the jaw put everything in perspective for William Wolf, made him rethink his whole career path. He said he might put battle rap on hold. Listen, man, this is why sometimes violence is necessary. We don't need people to get shot. We don't need them to get stabbed, killed. But every now and then, when someone puts those healing hands on you, it can give you the clarity that you need. Let William Wolf be a lesson to you all.
All right, well, thank you for that donkey of the day.
Mm-hmm. Don't move. It's the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Get back with our best of interviews.
That was Bruno Mars. That's what I like. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are the Breakfast Club. Now we got a special guest joining us. Her name is Tiffany Haddish. You might know her from where, Charlamagne?
Yes, she's from the Carmichael Show. She's got a show coming out with Tracy Morgan called The Last OG. She's going to be in the upcoming movie Girls Trip with Queen Latifah, Regina Hall, and Jada Pinkett Smith. She's just a very funny, blessed, and highly favored individual. I used to watch Tiffany when you used to be on VH1. What was that? I Love the 90s.
Yeah, you was on it, too.
I know.
That's how you watched it. Tiffany Haddish is here.
Yeah, Tiffany
Haddish
is
here. We even taped the same day.
We did tape the same day. I remember that.
I asked you to get in a photo booth with me, and you said you was busy.
That's not true.
He was busy, though. They was calling you in the room. You was busy.
They had a photo booth.
Yeah, remember they had the photo booth, you know, and yeah. I was thinking that would be so cool if I could take a picture with you, and then I could just brag on, like, guess who I know, bitches, you know, they're all through the hood.
Well, Maya, the tables have turned.
Mm-hmm.
I bet you would take a picture now.
Tell her what she should know. How many times you on that list?
Oh, the New York Times bestseller?
Tell
it's a few weeks. About 7-8 weeks.
Yeah, you're killing the game.
Thank you very much.
I just finished your book, too. Very good.
I appreciate
very
that.
Very good. Very, very
but
good.
But no, I always thought you was funny, but when I heard your story, you started raising all your siblings at a really young age.
Yeah, yeah. My mom had a really bad car accident. Her head went through a windshield, and I was 9. There's 5 of us total, and I'm the oldest. And so at 9 years old, you know, my mom had to learn how to walk, talk, eat, everything again. And so basically everything she had taught me up to that point, now I'm turning around, I'm teaching her. And so I was like a full-on mom, like right away. Mm-hmm. And I remember the day my mom came out the hospital, the doctor pulled me to the side. He said, look, she's never going to be the person that she was, and it's time for you to grow up now. You're going to have to help her as much as you can, okay? And I was like, okay. But here's the thing. Like, when I think back about it, like, I feel like it made me super strong. I couldn't really read that good at that point, and then...
You was only 8.
No.
What you were supposed to be reading?
I'm supposed to be reading these. I got to read these food stamps and everything, and then fill out all this paperwork so we can eat.
But what happened in the accident? Did somebody hit her? Or
No, my stepdad had cut the brake lines. I found that out later on when I was like 21.
That, you trying to kill your mom?
What had happened was, cocaine is a horrible drug. And he had a few women pregnant. And he had policies on us, and he kept moving us. Like, we had these houses in L.A., and he moved my mom from there. We moved to Pomona. Then from Pomona, we moved to Colton, which is even further from L.A. And my mom at the time was a manager at the U.S. Post Office. She had her own business going. She had properties going. Like, she was, like, a very, you know, entrepreneur, strong woman, and she was only, like, 28, 29. And, so we was all supposed to be dead. And I remember when I turned 21, I got really depressed, and I was crying. I wanted to kill myself. I wanted to die because I felt like, why am I even here? I can't take care of these kids. I'm not good at, and I just want to be happy, but it's hard. You know, I'm frustrated. And he took me out for drinks, and he was like,
the stepdad.
Yeah, and he said, you're supposed to be here. Because you could have died a long time ago, but you didn't. And I don't, you know, and then he broke it down to me, and I was just like, what?
So he basically told you he tried to kill your mama?
He tried to kill all of us.
Because you for a while, you held on to that because you thought you were supposed to be in the car.
Yeah, we all were supposed to be in the car, and I had begged her.
I ain't got soft tissue, but it's so hard. But
thank you. But I had begged her to let me babysit because I'm like, I'm eight and a half, about to be nine. Uh-huh. I know how to make hot dogs. I know how to make rice. I know how to change diapers. I know how to make babies, you know, formula, all of that. We going to bed in a couple of hours anyways. Why drive us all the way to L.A., drop us off at my grandma's house, then you go to work. Then you pick us up at like 6, 7 in the morning, drive all the way back. Then I got to go to school or whatever. Just let me babysit. But she didn't come home. Wow. You know, she let me babysit, but then, you know, 3 days go by, she don't come home. And she said, don't call nobody, you know, and don't answer the phone unless it ring twice and then hang up, because, you know, that's how your mama doing. She leave at home alone. She called two times, hang up, then call back. Yes. Then you're like, that's mama.
You didn't want to get mama in trouble, get mama locked up.
Right.
You don't want the social worker
to
die.
No, but we didn't. I didn't even.
You didn't know what happened?
No, and then on the third day, I was just like, man, I called my grandma, like, have you seen my mama? Have you talked to her? She was like, no. I'm wondering why y'all, like, came by the house. And I told her that, you know, I'm babysitting, but we running low on rice.
Like, 8 years old.
8 years old. Wow. And it was like a damn. Well,
what you doing this weekend? Because you know how to raise kids. I got 5. I need some help in my house.
Ooh, no. See, that now I don't really want to.
You don't want to be around
I really don't want
that's
to.
That's the best birth control.
No, I was married to a man that had children, and I love his
you
kids.
Were
and I, yeah. I'm a beautiful woman.
I didn't say, yeah.
Tell him again, Tiff.
I'm a beautiful woman.
Your ex-husband is actually the man who helped you find your real father.
Yes, he found my real dad. That's how he got me.
I want to talk about your daddy now, your biological dad.
What had happened was he started selling green cards illegally, and that's what got him caught up, and that's why he, like, took off. And so last time I saw him, I was 3, and my mom used to always tell me before, you know, like, my middle name is Sarah or Sarah, and in that language, it means princess. So she used to be like, yeah, you're supposed to be some princess, but you look like your ugly ass daddy. And
jeez.
So for years I thought my dad was ugly, and I thought I was ugly too because I look like this man, right? But turns out I go on this cruise, I meet this dude on the cruise.
Don't tell me you f***ed your daddy now.
My ex-husband.
Okay. No, I'm not.
Look, just because you got it in with your auntie, don't mean. I read the book. So.
She's a good one over here.
Don't play. So. I went on this cruise. This dude, he's like filming me and stuff and telling me that my smile just lit him up and made him so happy and everything. And he told me he was a police. And at that time, I had just found out about the stuff with my mom and all that and my stepdad. And so I had got my mind that that's what I need to do. I need to sleep with more police. I need to date more police and I can figure out how I can get this man locked up for doing what he did to my mama.
Right.
So I was going through this whole little point from the time I was like 19, 18. He said, I'll find your daddy for you, but it's going to cost you. And I was like, I'll pay you whatever you want.
He wanted to be
thinking
paid
I'm going
to
give him a little booty or something. Yeah, that's what I'm thinking. I was going to give him some of that, a couple of $100. And he was like, I want you to marry me. That's what I want.
Damn.
And so he found him in 3 weeks. And then, like, I'm a woman of my word. If I say I'm going to do something, I'm going
to
do it.
You married a man because he know how to do search Google?
No, he did more than search Google because my daddy was hard to find. But he talked to me every day on the phone for those 3 weeks. He got up in my mind.
Yeah.
Right? And I really enjoyed his conversation. We laughed a lot and stuff. And I was like, I just need to see what he looked like, and then it'll be cool. And he linked me up with my dad, and I knew it was my dad because I could, the things he talked about only my father would know.
Mm-hmm. Did you really want to connect with him? You didn't have no reservations or feel anger because he left y'all?
Well, you know, when I was a teenager, I felt anger, and I thought to myself, oh, if I see my dad, I'm going to kick him in the ding-ding, first thing I'm going to do. But then as I got older, I realized, well, dang, you know, him not being there allowed me to experience so many things. Mm-hmm. It's probably a good thing he wasn't around. He might not have been a good dad.
Mm.
And I thanked him for that. That was one of the first things. I gave him a hug and I said, thank you for not being there, because I might not be the person that I am today if he was there.
Do you have a relationship now?
He died 3 weeks ago.
Oh, I saw that.
Yeah.
He died 3 weeks ago, and I turned up last night in a little Ethiopian restaurant for him, drank like 3 glasses of honey wine. I didn't pour none out because he didn't drink, but I did.
All right, we got more with Tiffany Haddish when we come back. We got to talk about why she hates bunk beds. All right, we'll get into that when we come back. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Nighttime, she don't with liquor, don't like being tipsy. She don't do the Henny, just wipe
that was Drake Controller. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Now from the Carmichael Show and Girls Trip, Tiffany Haddish is in the building. Charlamagne?
Now, how'd you end up in foster care? That's an interesting story, too.
Yeah, so basically, I was taking care of these kids, you know, and I wasn't the best mom, okay? And I'm taking care of my mom,
You're
too.
You're only nine.
Okay, but at this point, I'm 12. 12 I should be better at it, right? But my mom had another baby, right? With my stepdad, she was getting off, she was off the chain with it because she's lost all her friends. So now I'm her friend. So she's telling me about her sexcapades with my stepdad, meaning we met in a Volkswagen and we did it in a Volkswagen, girl. And I'm like, did what? She's like, the sperm disease. That's what she called it. Yeah. She told me I couldn't do it till I turned 21. Then I could have babies and I have to get, that's when you get the vaccination. And then, because men have this stuff that shoots out of their weenie that can cause your legs to fall off and your baby carriage to fall out, and then you'll die in 3 days. And
wow.
Yeah, she said,
I'm going to tell that story to my kids.
And she said that men have enzymes in their mouth that'll eat your face up and eat your throat. So don't just kiss guys. Don't never put your tongue in a man's mouth because the enzymes in their mouth will eat you up if you don't have your vaccination. Awful. And it was so funny when she told me that, because then I went to school and I seen one of my homegirls, my friend Amber, she was kissing the dude. I was like, oh no, Amber. You're gonna die! Oh my God! And I went home to my mom. My mom said, "Don't worry about her. Her parents knew she was gonna be a hoe. They got the shot for her early." And so anytime I would see a girl kissing or something, I'd be like, "Yeah, he did this. Me did that." I'd be like, "Oh yeah, you got the shot early." And then
your mom is like a comedian.
My mom is a mess. She used to play like, you know, Bill Cosby albums and Richard Pryor and Lenny Bruce and all this stuff. And she's supposed to be a Jehovah's Witness, but we listening to cussing and all that because she's just a Jehovah's Witness for the babysitting. Anyways,
he was watching the kids, 12 years old.
Yeah, so I'm watching the kids, 12 years old. My brother wasn't my. She would. Like, I went to school before all the other kids, and I would lay out their clothes. And my baby brother, he would go to school, wear whatever he wanted to wear, and he would pee in the bed and stuff. And he would get to school, and the teacher would be like, he'd tell the teacher, I'm hungry, I'm this, I'm that. And so then, you know, they called the social workers, and they came over. I mean, we had roaches. I mean, I wasn't the best housekeeper. It was a lot of things that I wasn't doing right. And then the social worker started talking to my mom, realized she got some mental issues. I mean, she was talking about, my mom used to talk about aliens in the house, and that she could hear them, and they come in, they could try to rape all the kids and stuff, and she would, like, not let us go outside, and we were only allowed to go to school and come right back, and if I came back, like, 5 minutes late, I was getting beat for that because you must have been out there letting aliens rape you, and it was just crazy. It was crazy talk. I remember she was pregnant with my baby brother. She punched me dead in the face, busting my lip and stuff, and like pushed the whole dining room table into my abdomen, and I just thought, oh, now I'm never gonna have no kids, but this is cool. And then the social worker came through, evaluated the house, and she came over like every other weekend. And then one day my mom got into a fight with the front neighbors, and she had hit the dude with the 2x4 and it accidentally hit his baby, and she got arrested.
What?
Yeah, but they didn't even take her to jail. They just took her to the mental institution, and we got to, when I came home from school, it was police cars out there, and the social worker was putting all the clothes in trash bags, and she's like, you gotta get your clothes and put it in trash bags, let's go, you moving. And I was like, what? And my stepdad was there, and he could have took at least my brothers and sisters. I'm the only one from my father, but he could have took the rest of the kids, and they didn't have to be in the system like that. And he's like, take them all. Wow. I'll just follow you and see where you drop them off at. And I'm like, just let me go. Take them. Like, don't let them have to live this life.
How many foster families were you with?
I was with three.
Okay.
Three different families. And then I went first to McLaren Hall, which is it's like a jail, but it's messed up. McLaren Hall is not somewhere you want to be. But I was only there for like a night and a half. So
that's kind of where your comedy career was born.
Yeah, that's where it was born at, because we had to share this room, and that's why I don't do bunk beds now. I think bunk beds is dangerous. I don't never want to be in a bunk bed.
Plus, you're grown as hell.
Yeah, I'm grown as hell, no but fuck a bunk bed. So I hate bunk beds. Like, you want to see me? No, you want to see me have an attitude and ready to squab? Put a bunk bed in the room. Watch what happens.
Nobody's gonna put you in a bunk bed,
girl.
Now.
I don't do bunk beds.
You've had a guy try to have sex with you in a bunk bed?
What? And as soon as I see a dude got a bunk bed, I'm like, bye.
Who are you dating with?
Dudes have bunk beds. Dudes have bunk beds. They have air mattresses and bunk beds.
Nah, that's true. She lives in LA, so it's like all the people trying to make it on the come up.
Yeah, they have like five roommates and stuff. And I'm like, Anyways, in McLaren Hall, they had these bunk beds. It'd be like four in a room, right? Four beds in a room. And there's like these hella, like, these is gangster chicks with mental problems and all kind of stuff, and they can't house them. And so here I am, like 12, almost 13, up in here with these chicks. And they was like, yeah, we're going to whoop you. You're going to cry tonight, bitch. We're going to whoop your fucking ass tonight. Like, and all I could think is this bunk bed, like, there's no out. There's no way out. You trapped up against this wall. So I just start acting real stupid and like clowning and was like, yeah, you want to beat me up? Oh, come on with it. And I did, like, you cross your arm over like this, like I seen on Saved by the Bell. And I was like, you ain't going to touch my fucking face, though. And like, and I was being real stupid. And all I could think of is Who Framed Roger Rabbit? This movie like inspired all my comedy, because there's a scene in Who Framed Roger Rabbit where the detective says, why are all these people doing these nice things for you? And he says, because I make them laugh, Eddie. If you make people laugh, they'll do anything for you. Please. And I'm like, yeah, that's the ticket. This is how I'm going to get people to do my homework. This is how I'm going to get people to help me. This is how I'm going to keep from getting beat up. So I just start clowning, just start cracking jokes and being, like, mostly cracking on myself. And these girls was, like, laughing. They was like, yeah, she got problems. They ended up not beating me up, but I was so scared, like, I was scared. I just knew I was going to get beat up. But they didn't. They didn't beat me up.
So comedy was a defense mechanism.
It was a defense mechanism. And I had to. It saved my life.
You know the best part about that story?
What?
Roger Rabbit is responsible for your comedy.
Yes, and you know what's crazy? You know what's crazy? I ended up in a Laugh Factory comedy camp, and one of our first mentors was Charles Fleischer, the dude that did the voice of Roger Rabbit.
Wow.
Do you know, I hugged that man so hard and was like, thank you so much for doing Roger Rabbit, because you changed my whole life. You kept me safe. I have friends because of you now. Because I didn't have friends when I was younger. And because I saw that movie, it just changed everything. And he was like, breathe, like doing the sound. I'm like, yeah, I love him. He's my friend to this day.
All right, we got more with Tiffany Haddish. When we come back, we have to talk about her pooping in her boyfriend's Jordans. Yeah, strange, but we'll talk about it. Here's Notorious B.I.G. It's The Breakfast Club. Good morning. Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. Tiffany Haddish is in the building. Charlamagne?
Why you doo-dooing your ex-shoes, though?
Because he cheated on me. He cheated on me. They was Jordans.
Jordans. I knew it.
It was brand new Jordans.
I knew it was Jordans.
And you took a
I ate a gang of corn, so he knew it was human shit.
Do you have a man?
Hold on, so
you have a man now.
Did you do it directly in the shoe?
I directly in the shoe. This is what I did, right? I put the shoe back in the box and was like, and he left him at my house. I took him back to his house. I was like, babe, we should go play basketball. Let's go play basketball. You should put your new J's on so you could be the shit on the court. You know what I'm saying? Kill these on the court.
Tim, you can't tell every man this story. They're gonna run from you.
I don't care. Don't do me wrong. You won't get shit on. See, and I would have did like, and I would have did what normal girls do, like put sugar in the gas tank, bust windows out the car, slash tires or whatever. Because he slept with another chick on my birthday.
What?
On videotape.
What?
Like, and then I had picked up the video camera. He scratched my face. I still got a scratch mark on my cheek from that day. I was dumpster diving, trying to find that tape. I was in a dumpster for 2 hours in the rain. I found it. I watched it. And I was like, this revenge is real. And now I know. Now I'm a better person. Now I know, let God handle it.
There you go.
And when God handle it, he do it so much better.
You jumped in the dumpster for 2 hours.
How did you know that the tape existed?
Because he snatched it from me, and I was like, what's on the damn tape that you snatching the camera from me, scratching my face? He's like, none of your business.
He should have broke the tape.
He should have broke the tape.
Yeah, he's dumb, though. Yeah, he is dumb.
Did he ever put the Jordans on, though?
Yes. So what had happened was I told him to put the Jordans on so we could go play basketball. He put his foot in the shoe. He's like, what the hell? What the hell is in my shoe? And he pulled his foot out. He's like, oh, it's somebody in my shoe. It's corn and And I was standing in the door. I was like, yeah, all the you put me through, now you walking in and and I ran out the house because I knew he wasn't.
He was gonna catch you, yeah.
He wasn't gonna chase me through his. He lived with his mama. He lived in his mama house. You're not gonna chase him through your mama house with shit on your feet. And I was out of there.
Life has gotten much better for Tiffany.
Yeah.
I can sit here and listen to these stories all day.
I got a lot of them.
You got the Carmichael Show.
Yes.
Which I love.
Thank
Season
you.
Season 3 of that on
yes,
NBC.
Yes, yes. Mm-hmm. And I love working on it.
And Girls Trip comes out next week.
No, it comes out the 21st of July.
Oh, July.
But yeah, I saw you in Kiana, too, by the way.
Yeah.
Now, I didn't initially think I would like that movie until I saw it. Because I was like, what is the premise of this? I'm confused about it. But then I saw it, and it's actually really funny.
Yeah, it's just men chasing.
Yeah. It's just me and Chase. But Girls Trip I saw also because I had the privilege of getting to go to like an early screening.
And tell us
it.
About this a little bit.
And I mean, not to give anything away, but Tiffany is like the funniest person.
I mean, from the trailer, you look like the star of the movie.
In this movie.
Which is saying a lot because Queen Latifah and Jada Pinkett Smith.
I think all equally kind
we,
of.
We all equally have our positions in the movie. And I don't think I'm the star at all. I think I just push the funny along. I help push the story. Mm-hmm. And it's basically four friends who haven't seen each other in a while, 5 years, and they get together because one of them gets a hookup at
Regina
the Essence. Yeah, Regina Hall gets hooked up at the Essence Fest, and she brings all of us with her, and we fly in first class and doing it big. And my character is just like the crazy, it's like a black female Zach Galifianakis, but turned up to full ratchetness levels.
Right.
And it's fun. It was so much fun making the movie. When I saw the movie, it's not that I forgot what I did in the movie, but it was just like, wow, they used 75% of my tags of like stuff I made up, my ad libs. They used 75% of that. And so that made me feel really good. And then I was like, dang, do I get a writer's credit? But I don't.
But you know, I thought it was very empowering for women too, because there's a lot of things in that movie that some people might have shied away from, but you guys are, you know, having sex, like sexual, and it's not like, oh my God, we're, you know, it was just really like
a real girl's trip.
Yeah, like
and you
fun,
always got that one friend that's trying to teach you how to hook it up, you know, teach you how to, the grapefruit. You got to see the grapefruit scene. That's off the chain.
God damn, you do got a big tongue, too.
I know, we just seen it. And then there is a scene where a guy in the movie has a humongous penis.
Yes, Shaka Zulu style thing.
Has that ever happened to you in real life?
What grapefruit?
If I have a penis too big that you...
Yes, girl, I ended up in the hospital. He tilted my uterus.
What?
Knocked my uterus out of alignment.
Don't look like
what
a
country
hater,
was you in?
Don't look like a hater.
I was in South Central Los Angeles.
And
he was a baggage black guy baggage handler, and he was he told me, he was like, you know, I got a lot of you ain't gonna be able to handle this. And I was like, boy, please, I done had enough. It's nothing. Boy, please, like, just make sure, like, make sure you got that lube in them condoms because you about to get the shit out of you. And he pulled his out. I was like, God damn. And he came with it, and I was like, and I was taking it, and I was throwing it back, and it was killing me. Oh, it was killing me.
But you had a point
to
prove.
But I had a point to prove, yeah. And, like, and whatever I say, I do. Like, and so I did all that. He was like, right after, he's like, I love you. We should get married. Like, he wanted to marry me and stuff.
And then you
he
was like, nah, you a baggage
handler. He was like, you want to move into my place, trying to take me to his house. He took me to Target, bought me all kind of shit at Target and stuff.
Damn.
It was horrible. So it was like putting a flashlight in sitting down on it super hard.
So
over
big
and over.
Aren't good for you.
Nah, they tilt your uterus
there
and
you
all
go.
That stuff.
Did you
go to the ER?
Yes, I went to the ER. They did an ultrasound. And I said, look, straight up, this dude told me his thing was big. I didn't believe him. I had talked a lot of mess. I threw that ass back, and something's wrong. I was throwing up. I kept throwing up. It was like, because he pushed my stuff up and linked it. And
there you go.
He did what they call.
Well, we're going to use that. Make sure we have that
guy. No, I mean, them like.
You want to.
No. We are using that. Now, don't get it twisted.
I still would ride a big one, but now I know how to
do
use
it.
A
so
way to do it. It's a technique, and you gotta have some control and some power. You can't just go like rough
right,
guy on it.
Because
I was like, yeah. He was like, you all right? Yeah, I'm fine, motherfucker.
Tiffany Haddish is crazy.
Tell them where to find you on Instagram and Twitter and all that good stuff.
Everything is Tiffany Haddish. Tiffany like the diamonds, had in dish, keep the two D's is how you spell it. And that's on Facebook, Instagram, and Twitter, Tiffany Haddish.
Send them mad pics, y'all.
No.
Send them mad pics.
If you
only
send them
huge.
Don't do that. I hate pics.
What Tiffany if they look Haddish nice and lotioned up and nice veins?
I only want pics that I request. Now, first send me your credit score. Send me your credit score first. Let me get to see your Credit Karma copy, you know what I'm saying? And then we can talk about that pic.
My goodness. This Tiffany Haddish is the Breakfast Club. Good morning.
Morning, everybody. It's DJ Envy, Angela Yee, Charlamagne Tha God. We are The Breakfast Club. You got a positive note for the people?
Yes, man. The positive note is simply this. Worry about loving yourself instead of loving the idea of other people loving you.
Happy 10-year. 10-year. Wow. 10-year. Charlamagne, Angela Yee, Envy, you guys have been nothing but the best, the dopest. I appreciate you guys for holding it down for so many years. Congrats on the big 10. Not many get there. I'm glad that you guys have, and I can't wait to see you guys at the number 20. Love y'all. Peace.
The Breakfast Club.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Danielle Moody here, host of the Woke AF Daily podcast. We've been with iHeart for a year, and what a year it has been. As we head deeper into 2024 and yet another life-changing election cycle, Woke AF Daily is here to keep you sane and woke. Make Woke AF Daily your podcast destination for 2024 election news and analysis. Listen to Woke AF Daily Season 5 on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
I'm Tamika D. Mallory.
And it's your boy, my son, the General.
And we are your hosts of TMI. And catch us every Wednesday on the Black Effect Network, breaking down social and civil rights issues, pop culture, and politics in hopes of pushing our culture forward to make the world a better place for generations to come. Listen to TMI on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
That's right. That's right.